The following essay was originally aired in 2005. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, January 9th, 9 a.m. Eugene, near city center. Frigid water drips from the rafters in viscous, syrupy droplets. The edges of the backyard windows are opaque with fog, allowing in only a trifling amount of filtered morning sunlight. Water remains tenuously liquid as temperatures hover near freezing. Black mold covers the straw-brown remnants of last year's garden. Tomato vines and sweet basil that were once green and vital are now structurally unsound. A snarl of spidery branches collapsing under their own weight. A flock of dark-eyed juncos picks through fallen seeds from the flowers of late summer. I choose to stay indoors this weekend. I have endured most of the symptoms usually associated with the flu over the last few days and have no inclination to leave the comfort of my home. Headache, infected sinuses, coughing, fever, and overpowering fatigue have overwhelmed my usual appetites, stealing my ability to focus. Influenza and other viral infections can only survive within a living host. Viruses consist of little more than genetic material, DNA or RNA. Living inside the cells of other species, viruses use the host cells to grow and produce new viral particles. As they take over genetic material to reproduce themselves, the host cells often die. These simplest of biological organisms have evolved sophisticated methods that cause complex behaviors in their host to ensure that their life cycle is completed. I am reluctantly accommodating my virus by coughing periodically and spreading them liberally in aerosol form. A flash of deliberate buzzing motion moves across the wintry scene. A hummingbird has come to the feeder in front of my window, seeking the sugary nectar available from within its scarlet plastic flowers. This is an Anna's hummingbird, the only hummingbird regularly found in Oregon during the winter. Amazingly, my faux blossoms attract these feathery sprites every year during the coldest months. These birds are able to survive periods of intense cold by slowing their metabolism and falling into a kind of brief hibernation or torpor. They have survived recorded ambient temperatures as low as 12 degrees Fahrenheit in Portland. Last year, they first became noticeable during the big snowstorm that smothered the valley floor under an icy white blanket. Anna's are the largest hummingbird in our area. They were originally found only on the Pacific slope from Baja, California, northward to San Francisco. They have increased their population and expanded their breeding range in recent years northward to Vancouver, British Columbia, and eastward to southern Arizona. The bird at my feeder is a female. Its back is iridescent bronzy green. Its belly is grayish white. If it were a male, its head would be decorated with a deep rose-red crown and throat patch that extends to the sides of the neck. My female has a few red feathers on its throat. Its tail feathers are tipped in white. It is thought that the abundant, early-blooming red gooseberries that are common throughout its original range have co-evolved with Anna's hummingbirds. Blooming of their reddish-pink tubular flowers coincides exactly with the bird's unusually early breeding season. Anna's also consumes more insects than any other North American hummingbird, catching them on the wing in the manner of a flycatcher or by hover-gleaning among the leaves and twigs of trees. At other times, they find sustenance at the sap wells of sapsuckers or by pilfering insects from the webs of spiders. The courtship display of the male Anna's hummingbird is probably the most distinctive among North American species. With bill pointed downward, he surges above the female to heights ranging from 75 to 150 feet. He may sing briefly at the top of the dive, stop momentarily, and then climb still higher, all the while peering down. Finally, he dives almost straight down at top speed and swoops dramatically in front of the female, emitting a loud, metallic popping sound, while his iridescent splendor mesmerizes his intended mate.
Lane County Audubon is sponsoring a bird walk with trip leader Dave Bontrager this Saturday, January 16th. He is a former educator with National Audubon Society and a research biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Dave currently teaches a variety of bird and natural history classes in Eugene. He'll help identify raptors and locate other birds in the West Eugene wetlands. All levels of birders are welcome, from first-timer to expert. Meet at South Eugene High School at 19th and Patterson, rain or shine, at 8 a.m. For more information, call 968-5533. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.